over. He will run away. Look at these verses. You can put these, we're ready for the verses now. Colossians chapter 2. This passage is so powerful. For he is the complete fullness. Now this is Christ. For Christ is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We're completely filled with God. Wow. As Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Let these words sink into your, these are truths. This is living truth. His word. Wow. And through our union with him, we have experienced the circumcision of heart. All the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the anointed one, has accomplished for us. It doesn't say you had to cut it away. It says he did it. He did it. Let that sink into you. Verse 12, it says, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. Verse 13, this realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp. We were held in sin's grasp. But now we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. Never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of our sins. And so many words in this passage are so large, so permanent, so overwhelming. Like, we're forever alive. You know how long that is? That's more than a week. Yeah? You're forever alive and forgiven. Forever alive and forgiven. In 14 it says, he canceled every legal violation which we had on our record. He canceled it. He didn't say he canceled some. It says he canceled everyone. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all and it cannot be retrieved. Wow. Everything we once were in Adam, everything you once were in Adam has been, wow, has been placed into his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Verse 15 says, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, all of them, stripped away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of his cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Such a powerful section of scripture. It's just overwhelming. By the blood of his cross, we have access. We have favor. We have the right to see every decree of robbery written against us taken away. Sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes it takes effort. Maybe it always does. But we must stand and fight. Jesus has broken the power of the enemy here on the earth. He has won the war. But we must do the battle that ensures our victory. Describe everything that he has stolen, everything that he has taken, all the damages for the loss of joy, the loss of peace, the pain and suffering, everything he's done. Write it out and say, I'm getting it back. I'm making it back. The king, he's our great judge. And through the blood of his son, he has already declared our innocence, our freedom, and our restoration. I declare that we can take back whatever has been stolen or lost or even hidden from us. We can take it back. 2 Timothy 1:10 says this: "This is the truth now being unveiled by revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating, there you go, all of its effects in our lives, and he has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel." Wow. He is the one who gives us life, who gives us hope, who gives us freedom, who gives us victory. And not just a little bit. It's overwhelming, overwhelming victory. And he wants to give us a life that overflows with his mercy and goodness. It says in Luke 2:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we read, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." What are the weapons? There are three primary weapons in that verse: the blood of Christ, the word of God, and the name of Jesus. And I want to focus just for a minute on, for a few minutes this morning, on the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the most powerful weapon we have. The blood of Christ is the most powerful, effective weapon we have. Because without the blood, the word of God doesn't have so much power, and the name of Jesus doesn't have so much power. But because they're based on the blood, everything is based on the blood, they have all kinds of power. We have all kinds of power. His blood. In Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him," the enemy, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." The blood of the Lamb is so powerful, so true. It's alive today. It's alive today, and it speaks mercy and grace and authority and power. Hebrews 12:24 says, "And we have come to Jesus, who established a new covenant with his blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, blood that continues to speak from heaven forgiveness, a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth justice." It seems like there is no end to the power and the perfection of Jesus' blood. And he's bringing the power of his blood to the attention of the church. And we need to honor his blood, proclaim his blood, depend on his blood. For through the blood of the Lamb, we have power over all the power of the enemy, everything that the enemy has. And those who proclaim his blood, not mechanically, not just rote, I might say it, but with true holy reverence, understanding the power that's there, can see a restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. Do not underestimate the power of his blood. Do not underestimate the power of Jesus' blood. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." The apostle in Hebrews said, "For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness." His blood is what makes atonement for our souls. When Jesus died on the cross, as God's high priest, he shed and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. He sprinkled it there on behalf of us. He was crucified. It's interesting. Jesus was crucified the same time that the Passover was happening. We know that, right? While the Jews were celebrating the remembrance of the first Passover and their exodus from Egypt, Jesus was proclaiming for us exodus from all the power of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, he is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. And we have to, it can't become just dull theological information. It has to become alive in our hearts, active, vital in our hearts, embracing his blood. We can't just offer our words, but we offer his blood. It's what covers us. It's interesting, when the high priest sprinkled the blood, every year the high priest went in the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. And when he did, it was then that God manifested his presence there and spoke to him out of the Shekinah glory. And when we use his blood, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holy by the blood of Jesus." We enter into his presence by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20 says, "By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience by the blood, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." When we apply the blood of Jesus, we experience miraculous power in our lives. His blood is so effective. So effective. There's just so much power, so much you could share about the blood. It's just overwhelming to look at what Jesus did. His blood shed for us means victory. It means victory. It means overwhelming victory. It's like a 20-ton nuclear bomb going off. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. It says in Hebrews 12:22-24, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling." To Jesus and to his blood we've come. Not merely just to believe what Jesus did for us in the past, but what he is doing for us moment by moment, day by day. His blood is so powerful. In the battle against principalities and powers and wicked spirits, we need to proclaim. We need to sprinkle his blood before us and say, "This is the way it is." Because when we do that, Satan must give ground. He may be stubborn, but we possess the winning weapon. We have his blood. In 1 Peter 1:2, it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." It's not passive faith that brings, not passive faith in the blood that brings the victory. It's actively proclaiming it when we need it. I'm convinced that the reason so many Christians are living such miserable lives with sickness and recurring sin is because we're not realizing that we have to turn our passive faith in the blood into active faith. And we have to use it, we have to sprinkle it, we have to proclaim it, we have to depend on it. His blood is so powerful. It's just as effective today when we apply it by faith as it was when Moses did it, when Joshua did it, when David did it, when Jesus was there. There's one substitute all the devils in hell cannot penetrate, cannot overcome, and that is the blood. But it's not there automatically. Salvation isn't automatic. We just don't get automatically saved. We don't get healed automatically. No promise of God is obtained automatically. But all of his promises can be obtained through faith and by maintaining continued faith in his blood. There's no more power in the blood. There's more power in the blood than anyone has ever imagined. So today, honoring his blood clears the way for the power of God to be revealed anywhere we are pressing in for salvation, for the gifts of the Spirit, for miracles, for healing. Wherever Satan is at work, we must apply the only antidote that we have. The weapon is the blood of Jesus. Prayer and praise and worship and devotion and all those things are good, and they are right, but they will not do what the blood does, because the blood of Jesus is the only effective weapon that we can use to fight the enemy, because it is the most powerful weapon. You know, in the Old Testament, the high priest had to take a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and apply the blood to the doors. So in the spiritual realm, we take the blood by faith and speak it out loud. Each time we proclaim the blood, we are voicing the surest weapon against the enemy that we have. Think about it this way. If I take one drop, proclaim the blood of Jesus once, it's like one drop of disinfectant splashed against the corruption of the enemy. But you wouldn't put one drop of disinfectant in a garbage can, would you? You'd fill it. So we need to do that. We need to the more we proclaim his blood and the power of his blood in our lives, the more power we bring to bear against the enemy. Not rote repetition, but active faith in his blood. It's so simple and so obvious. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Every situation where we find ourselves under the attack of the enemy, we need to proclaim his blood. By doing so, we're reminding God that we are trusting in his mercy. We're reminding Satan that he is defeated, and reminding ourselves of the ground of our confidence in Christ. The word teaches this. It says, in Exodus chapter 12, when they did the Passover, one of the things that God said to them, he said, when you put the blood on the door, the posts and the door, he said, when I see the blood, when I'm coming to destroy Egypt, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you and not allow the destroyer to come into your house and destroy you. And Jesus told us, Christ is our Passover. He became our Passover by shedding his blood, his own precious blood. There's nothing more precious than his blood. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to share in the table of communion for just a minute. And as we do, I want you to